Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. My guest today is Tim Donnelly, and I will pick him up forthwith. Today is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, beginning October 1st. I'm clicking on, and here's my guest, Tim Donnelly. Welcome.
Hi.
Well, I am so pleased you called in. Let everybody in America know what happened with the referendum. Everyone is very eager.
Well, we gathered signatures for the past 70-plus days. We had somewhere close to 4,000 people who signed up to help. A little over 1,000 were very actively helping, and we this past Monday turned in signatures in most of the counties, and we're waiting for the final result.
How many signatures were gathered?
That is the $64,000 question.
Do you have copies of the signatures that were sent in?
No, you don't take copies of them.
Oh dear. A lot of signatures have gone missing, however, and how do you know they've gone missing?
Well, I have not alleged that any signatures have gone missing, so I think you need to be very careful in terms of spreading rumors and innuendo. There's a lot of emotion and a lot of misinformation flying around on Facebook, and right now we are looking into that. And if concrete evidence is obtained, then we will act on it.
Right. I'll tell you what the rumors are, and then you can address them, okay? One rumor is that 400,000 signatures were collected. Another rumor is that boxes
Let me stop you. I didn't come on here
ahead
to address all these rumors. I did an interview with Natural News, and they're the ones who published it. That they'll be correcting the record over there. But look, the vast majority of the rumors have no basis in fact. They have no basis. They didn't come from me, and I'm pretty much the only one who would know. Myself or perhaps one or two of my leadership team. So rumors and innuendo are just that. We're waiting for a count from the Secretary of State, and there's, as I said, a great deal of consternation on Facebook over a number of issues which we have tried to address in a recent posting.
Well, tell me more about the collection process, because I know a lot of the people who participated, and the energy was high from everything I could get. The pictures of people out with their flyers and their posters and their action. I have to say,
people have been 1,000%
behind you.
This was one of the most diverse, energetic, and passionate coalitions I've ever worked with. And it was one of the largest grassroots movements that I've seen, certainly in my history in California. And you had people who put their entire lives on hold and spent almost 90 days gathering signatures, organizing, collaborating, and, really coming up with creative ways to promote the referendum and ultimately get signatures. I have never worked with a finer group of people. I will definitely be happy to say that. And so
I saw your training video. I thought that was really good, that you trained people how to proceed and what you included and what you didn't include, with the sole objective of getting those signatures. Would you like to tell people what it is you told the people who are gaining signatures how to proceed?
Well, I don't want to go into all that because it's kind of a moot point. That's all past. You know, the bottom line is that we had to put up some guidelines. The government makes it very, very difficult for you to gather signatures, and now you're. If I could run a bill right now, I would run a bill that would make it easy to just do it online. Because I don't understand why the government feels the need to make it so difficult to put something on the ballot for the people to decide when they, in fact, are supposed to be the representatives of the people.
Good point. You used to serve in the Assembly or the Senate? Which house were you in?
I served in the California State Assembly.
Okay. And you're a libertarian, am I correct?
I'm a very reluctant Republican who is very, very libertarian in my views.
Right. And what about this bill, for those who are listening who might not understand SB 277, how does that offend your libertarian leaning?
Well, it should offend every American. We don't comply with the government when they come and tell us what we should do with our bodies. That's a fundamental right. It's a natural right. It is a right of every human being to determine whether or not they're going to choose to consent to any medical procedure or anything that is injected into their body, period. And also parents on behalf of their children. It's the parents and the individual, not the government, that should have that power. And this bill was very much more about coercion. It was also, in many ways, about how so many Americans, when it comes to the sacred cow of vaccines, are willing to suspend their disbelief, suspend their skepticism of government, and all of a sudden the government's right about everything, and the government couldn't possibly be wrong, and yet the facts tell us a very different story, which is everything you inject into your body could potentially do harm. It's just the nature of putting a foreign substance in your body. Why in the world we would trust the government after they allowed and endorsed mercury as a preservative, which is a heavy metal, it's a toxic metal, and it's something that has devastating neurological effects when it builds up too much in someone's system, especially someone susceptible. Why we would trust the government after they buried evidence of the links between thimerosal, the mercury-based preservative, and autism-like effects is beyond me. So,
well,
likewise,
with the referendum, you know, when I heard the rumors, I thought, well, there's a non-surprise, turning to the government to correct a corrupt government who's you know, why are we even going this way? It's what we have available to do, but quite frankly, the corruption is beyond belief, especially within the pharmaceutical industry. And I have to say, the 100% of the people who went to speak out against that daycare bill, forced inoculation for daycare workers, 100% of the constituents who traveled from afar opposed, not 1 in 15, you know, not 15 to 1, not 23 to 1, 100%. So how can legislators, since you've been one, fly in the face of 100% of their constituents saying no?
That's what they do. You know, they work, they don't work for you, they work for who pays them.
Well, you're turning to the Board of Elections, and the Board of Elections is part and parcel of the problem. It's a conundrum. It is a catch-22 situation. You're looking to a government who has already failed you to not fail you this time.
Well, I wasn't looking to the government. I was looking to the people. And there is corruption. Corruption is not always the only reason that that we need to be concerned. So, you know, some processes have a certain amount of transparency. And in the end, look, we did what we took a course that was available to us, and we're pursuing that course, and we'll pursue it all the way to its conclusion. And and as I stated, that remains to be seen right now. We're waiting for the final count. But this what's encouraging to me is you have thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans, tens of thousands across the country, that are paying attention to what's going on in California because they know it's going to come to their state soon. And this is a wake-up call for a lot of people who were never involved in politics. They never thought that government would really affect them. They thought they could just ignore it and go on with their lives. And then, of course, government knocked on the door and became a threat to their children. And all of a sudden, voting became really important. And taking to the streets and calling their representatives and going to meetings and lobbying and showing up at rallies, they found themselves doing things that they never envisioned themselves doing, perhaps in their lifetime. So,
a legislator, there's something really important here that I found out by listening to one of the interviews with Brandy Vaughn, that I'm wondering how, as a legislator, can this be addressed? She was saying that the FDA has classified vaccines as a health program, where not a pharmaceutical drug. And she said the problem there is that it does not undergo gold standard testing. This is not the only problem with it. It also, when promoted on television, is put forth as a public service announcement, and no adverse reactions are stated, as with a pharmaceutical drug. It's just promoted. There are scare tactics used to make you think you should get the HPV vaccine, and although there are 100 recorded adverse reactions to it, not even one is mentioned. And I do believe that that would be part and parcel of it being a health program where the testing doesn't have to be done, you don't have to mention the adverse reactions, and possibly even the doctors might not have to inform you with informed consent because it's a health program. How can we change the classification? It's an FDA, it's a federal classification, regardless. How can the state change the classification so that it is determined as our pharmaceutical drug?
Well, I think you make a good point. That absolutely should be done. And it should be held to the same level of accountability that pharmaceutical drugs are. And if everybody had to hear the side effects every time they ran one of these public service announcements, if the government had to play by the same rules that they force the private sector to play by, then we would perhaps have a more educated public.
Well, the liability issue, of course, is an immense one, because when they lifted the liability, the number of vaccines skyrocketed. But I believe a rudimentary issue, and the one that has to be addressed first, is that classification by the FDA. So perhaps an assemblyman could sponsor a bill changing the classification to a pharmaceutical drug. Is this true?
I'm not familiar with the ins and outs of what it would take to do that, because I was elected on a state level, so I'm not going to comment on something with which
I'm saying, can the state start, initiate that change? Can you initiate such a change?
I don't think so.
I've gone to my state senator and asked him to nullify the CDC vaccine schedule. I said, we're all about nullification at the, for the federal level. I would like you to nullify the CDC schedule. Another legislator here in New York had actually proposed a bill ban vaccines with GMOs. It never made it. They said that their constituents didn't want it. I'm like, oh, right, constituents want vaccines with GMOs. Sure, but... I'm really trying to figure out what we can do at the state level to affect the agencies, the CDC and the FDA.
Well, those are under the purview of the federal government, so not a whole lot, except that states, of course, reserve all the powers from the 10th Amendment that are not specifically earmarked and given to the federal government. And there would have to be a movement and sort of a rebellion at the state level to ultimately nullify some of this power. And I think a lot of people would support that.
No, I have turned to the 10th Amendment Center. They're all about nullification, the 10th
right.
Amendment Center. And they said, well, this is very interesting, and we would pursue that if you weren't the only one calling for it. So,
right.
Unfortunately,
Sally, I've got to walk into a meeting right now, so I'm going to have to leave you here.
Okay.
But thank you for having me on air.
Certainly, and please keep in touch so that these misunderstandings are not allowed to perpetuate. We need to know everything that's happening the minute you know it, so that the rumors do not persist.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much,
Jim
Donnelly. I appreciate you calling in today. Bye-bye.